Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from the psalm appointed for the day, Psalm 139, a psalm of David. Listen to these words of our text. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And if I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. This is the text, my dear brother and sister. Some people live trying to hide from God, trying to live their life by their own and on their own terms. Adam and Eve tried it and it did not work so well for them. And why would you truly want to hide from God? Is it that independent streak that we all have upon our birth, that we want no one above us? What is it? I, for one, would not want to hide from God. I actually tried this third one here. I didn't go up to the heavens, and I did not yet make my bed in the grave, in the depths, but I did rise on the wings of the dawn and settled on the far side of the sea. That happened in February of 1977. I was 24. I had won a scholarship at Concordia St. Paul, and I boarded an aging Boeing 707, and I took off from Porto Alegre, and we landed in Miami for refueling, in Caracas for refueling, and then after that, a few more hours of flight, and we finally landed in Miami. From the South Atlantic to the North Atlantic, from Brazil to the United States of America, speaking Portuguese and German to English, eating Brazilian food and eating American food. All the customs and even the values were different. But 30 minutes after I landed, I was already surrounded by God's love. Pastor Gruel, who was a perfect stranger to me, I had corresponded to him over two letters, picked me up at the airport, brought me home to his family, and said, "Here, you are at home." That's how things work when God adopts you into his universal and cosmic family. For all I know, I could land in Mars tomorrow and be surrounded by his care. You cannot hide from God. He is everywhere. And David paints three scenarios. If I go up to the heavens, and everybody says, yeah, of course, God is in the heavens, the heavenly realms, the place of his preferential being. Of course, God will be in heaven. No surprise, you are there. And if I make my bed in the depths, in Sheol, in the grave, you are there. God does not abandon me, not even when I go into the grave, when everybody else, after they close my grave, turn their backs and walk away. But God stays. And if I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, yes, even there, your right hand will hold me fast, the hand of God's favor, the hand of God's love and blessing, the hand of God's forgiveness, the hand that sustains me, the hand that reassures me. That hand will hold me fast. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. they wanted to live according to their own ideas of what life should be like. But they couldn't hide from God. They tried, but God went after them and said, "Where are you?" And God restored them, and God received them back with all of their sin, with all of their rebellion. God still received them back, just like he does now with you and me. Jonah tried to hide from God. Jonah was a diplomat. He worked for the State Department of Israel. And when those nasty people from Assyria came and annexed the northern part of Israel to Assyria, to their kingdom, Babylonian kingdom, Noah was sent as a diplomat to negotiate the restoration of the land to Israel, and the Ninevites, or the Assyrians, just laughed at them. Well, a while later, the word of God came to Jonah and says, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to them that message, the message that I give you." So Jonah tried to hide from God. He didn't go east. He went west to the seashore of the Mediterranean, to a little town called Joppa. And there he bought a ticket on a ship that was sailing for Tarshish, farther west, farther away from the Lord's command and intent. He wanted to hide from God. But you know the rest of the story. Eventually they dumped him into the drink, and he was caught by a large fish who, after 3 days, deposited him on dry ground. In heaven one day, I'm going to ask Jonah, just curious, did the fish dump you back on the shores of Joppa, right where you left? Or did you have to walk back to the city from where you sailed? But Jonah eventually went, and he gave the Ninevites the message that the Lord had given him. Not due to Jonah's eloquence or his oratory or skills as a speaker that convinced the Ninevites to repent and turn to God. It was the message that God gave him. It is the word that you and I also have that changes the lives of the people on earth, that turns them to God. We may hide from each other for a while, but we can never hide from God, because God sees us before we know that we exist. David said, "Your eyes saw my unformed body." And with all due respect to all the pregnant women among us, an unformed body is not exactly a cuddly little rosy baby. An unformed body is an unformed body. It is a mass of human tissue with a big eye and a little appendage for legs and two little knobs for hands and arms, and that's it. And God looks at us and loves us. In my biology class in the 70s in Brazil, we actually had a human fetus, an embryo, in formaldehyde. Nowadays, thankfully, that is forbidden. But then you saw the real thing. It's nothing to look at. And God looked at it and loved me and accepted me and said, "My child," with a big smile. He owned me then. He wanted me. So he saw me while I was yet unformed in my mother's womb. David starts out this psalm with a beautiful exclamation, "The Lord, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me." The Lord does know me, and with all of my defects, with all of my sin, with my inward rebellion and crookedness, he still accepts me. And because he loved his son Jesus, and Jesus died for me. I stand forgiven before God. God looks through me, through Jesus' glasses, and sees a perfect son that does his will all the time. In Christ, I stand forgiven before God. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That's God's calendar. My first day was January 20, 1953. And the last day, I don't know, but it's already checked off in God's calendar. So why would I spend any effort or time or energy in worrying about when that last time comes, that last day? Let God be God. Trust in Him. He created you in your mother's womb, and He guided and conducted you and enabled you and protected you all your life. Is He gonna drop you at the end? I don't think so. Actually, God says He will never leave me nor forsake me. And His Son says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. It's very simple to understand, isn't it? That God will not abandon us. David says, you have me in behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too marvelous for me to attain. It surely is. But I don't have to understand. I just have to accept God's love in my life. Walk accordingly and be happy. So at the beginning of this unknown journey called 2018, it is so beautiful that we let each other be encouraged by the words of God, that He has searched me, that He knows me, and that He accepts me. The Lord is watching over us at all times, no matter where we are. And He will use us and the gifts that He gave us to the benefit of everybody else that shares planet Earth with us from this time on. So let us bask in the knowledge that we belong to God and that He wants others to be attached and adopted into His family. Let us proclaim again in 2018 the glory of God, the good news of salvation to anyone who would hear us, so that they too may be known by God and taken into His family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.